Do you generally support or oppose President Obama's proposed budget for 2015? That is today's big question. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, March 5th. President Obama unveiled his $3.9 trillion plan yesterday at an elementary school in Washington, D.C.
This opportunity agenda is built on four parts: more good jobs at good wages, making sure that we're training workers with the skills they need to get those good jobs, guaranteeing every child access to a world-class education, and making sure that our economy is one in which hard work is rewarded.
We will ask our guest about the general principles and key elements of the proposed federal budget and the reaction that he's getting to it. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions, too, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. At the end of the hour, we will hold our 30-second sound-off for you to answer our big question. And you can also vote in our online poll at wpr.org/joy. So let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have back with us Stephen Smith, Distinguished Professor of Social Sciences, Professor of Political Science, and the Director of the Wiedenbaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. His newest book, The Senate Syndrome: The Evolution of the Procedural Warfare in the Modern U.S. Senate, is scheduled to be released next month. Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll have to talk to you again next month about your book. Well, let's the president unveiled his nearly $4 trillion spending plan, proposed a federal budget for 2015 yesterday. What do you think are the key elements of this budget?
Well, it's investing in education, job training, and the increase in the earned income tax credit, one of the main anti-poverty efforts on the part of the federal government, and raising some revenue, roughly $1 trillion over 10 years, to pay for that. That's what's going to get the big notice.
Yeah, and by raising revenue, we're talking about raising taxes on the rich?
Yes, for the most part. Most of it comes from a change in the way retirement savings of the well-off are treated. Right now, if you donate to your retirement fund, you do that without that income being taxed right now. It'll be taxed later when you withdraw it from your retirement account, but that's probably at a time when you have a lower income, and so you'd be paying a smaller tax rate maybe on that income. And so that's called tax preferred. And the president proposing that if someone saved as much as $3 million, that the additional contributions to their savings plan, retirement savings plan, would not have that tax-preferred status. So that's roughly the equivalent of getting a retirement income of $200,000 a year, and the president proposes that after that point you just don't benefit from the tax break.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand. Why do you suppose he went this route?
Well, you know, the president, in the last couple of budgets, I think was hoping to throw a few carrots in the direction of Republicans, especially the House Republicans, to show some interest in coming up with a grand bargain on long-term deficit reduction, something that would include additional revenues that the president and Democrats wanted, Republicans really didn't want, but would include some changes in spending, like changes in the cost of living increase for Social Security that the Democrats opposed. He's given up on that strategy this time, and instead he's proposed a budget that reflects, I think, the administration and Democratic priorities without any concessions to the Republicans, at least not up front.
Well, and a lot of the reaction so far make the point that the president is going to get very little of what he wants here. So what's the point of putting out a big wish list like this?
Well, you know, the president's required by law to actually propose a budget. So the question is, what does the president do with this? Does he treat it as an opportunity to show some sense of his priorities? And that's what he's done here. He's indicated some additional areas of domestic and defense spending. I mean, it's important to realize that about half of the additional spending he proposes is actually in defense. And then the budget's just replete with explicit trade-offs that make it easy for Democrats, I think, for many Democrats anyway, to sell in this election year. So, for example, he proposes increasing federal spending on preschool education. He would really like all four-year-olds to have a preschool education available to them, and he increases the cigarette tax to pay for this. And so he's, you know, kind of daring the Republicans to say that this is not a reasonable trade-off. And then on one spending initiative after another, he suggests how it will be paid for. It's a pretty smartly devised budget, clearly a political document. Of course, the White House wouldn't deny that. And it's a basis for a campaign for many Democrats.
Let's take a listen to Senator Lindsey Graham, who was talking about President Obama's proposed military budget for 2015. Not a fan of this. Let's take a listen.
440,000 members of the United States Army is a gutted army. We do have a lot of technology available to our troops. Every soldier goes into battle with an array of technology and equipment not possessed in World War II, but you still need trigger pullers.
So what does the president gut the military?
I'm no military expert, so a gut, I think, is probably a pretty strong term here. The president is proposing that the size of the army be reduced by 100,000 soldiers. That is a substantial change. At the same time, he's proposing new investments in technology. He's proposing increasing in spending on readiness, on refurbishing equipment, a substantial increase in research and development on weapon systems. So the president is betting, I think, as most recent presidents have, is that future wars are going to be more technological than they are personnel. And personnel is very expensive, so there's clearly a trade-off here, and I think a serious difference of opinion among people who are expert in defense strategy about what the real military needs in the future will be. And Senator Graham is taking the point of view that maybe we have enough technology and that we just need to maintain the size of our armed services. And I think there's going to be a pretty serious debate over that.
Yeah. Paul on Facebook says, President Obama fails to go far enough. We need to dramatically improve our infrastructure and our early education programs. Many areas that he is looking for investment are great, but we really don't need billions more for defense when funding the basics is so impossible. What's your response to that?
Well, I think that the president, president's budget would meet Paul's standards there. He continues to propose, as he first did just a couple of weeks ago, that we spend over $300 billion of new money on roads and bridges. He proposes a variety of other infrastructure improvements. And he proposes nearly $80 billion of new money for preschool education. He also proposes investing a lot in training teachers in the use of new technologies, and expanding it to areas, especially rural areas, where they have less of it than they might need. So there is a considerable investment in just those areas. The Republicans don't seem really very interested in pursuing that kind of spending, at least from what we've seen in the last 24 hours. So it's not likely to go anywhere, but I think it's fair to say that it's actually in the budget.
We are talking about President Obama's proposed budget. It's our big question today. We're asking whether you generally support or oppose President Obama's proposed budget for 2015. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Maybe you have a question about what's in this $3.9 trillion spending plan that the president unveiled yesterday. We welcome your questions as well. For our guest, Stephen Smith, he is Distinguished Professor of Social Sciences, Professor of Political Science, and Director of the Wiedenbaum Center for the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Today's big question, do you generally support or oppose President Obama's proposed budget for 2015? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're talking about the budget that was unveiled yesterday by President Obama with Stephen Smith, a distinguished professor of social sciences, a professor of political science, and director of the Wiedenbaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. It is, many headlines are saying that President Obama's budget would raise taxes on the rich and cut them for the poor. We talked a little bit about raising them on the rich. How does this cut them for the poor?
Mainly by increasing the eligibility for the Earned Income Tax Credit, the EITC, which benefits low-income people who are working. It was designed largely by Republicans in the Reagan era and has been expanded a few times since then by both Republican and Democratic presidents. The general idea is to give you an income tax credit on a dollar-for-dollar basis as you increase your income, to increase the incentive for work up through the basically lower middle income levels. So it starts when you have to be working in order to benefit from this, and that's the incentive for work. And then you don't lose it as you move from roughly the poverty level upward in your income. Eventually it plateaus and fades out as your income gets up into the more middle range of closer to the $50,000 range. One of the problems with it from the point of view of both Republicans and Democrats has been that it's focused heavily on adults with children, with the benefit being much greater for adults with children. With the focus there being on trying to keep these children out of poverty. But there are many, many single or childless adults, I should say, who haven't benefited much, and the president proposes expanding the tax credit for them. Mm-hmm. And there are so many childless adults in poverty or near poverty and who are working. They really haven't benefited much from the EITC, and the president proposes to expand that.
Let's go to John in Appleton. Hello, John.
Hi. I really like what I hear about the president's budget so far. I'm just wondering what kind of foreign aid packages are included in the proposed budget?
Well, that's a good question, and I really don't have an answer ready for you, John. Foreign aid's always a very controversial part of a budget. It constitutes something less than 1% of our overall budget, so it never figures much in real politics about it, but You know, the president, and there are some parts of our budget that really are not really foreign aid in the sense that we give money to other foreign governments. There is a notable expansion in world health programs. Of course, we're affected by the flu and other diseases that travel across the world, and the president's proposing to spend considerably more money on that. But most people would not consider that to be foreign aid.
Thanks very much, John, for the call. Matthew on Facebook says, $4 trillion? The United States' normal GDP was estimated to be $17.1 trillion in December of 2013. Obama is trying to bankrupt this country. What's your reaction to that?
Well, the Great Recession did create both a loss in, the GDP and and that's what a recession is about after all, is a reduction in economic activity, and at the same time increased federal spending. So we saw a huge increase in the size of the federal budget relative to our economy, to our GDP. But the fact is the president's proposal over 10 years would reduce percent of GDP that's represented by our total debt. It would reduce it from something like 76 or 77%, which is what it's projected to be if we don't do anything about it, down to under 70%. So actually, relative to the size of our economy, the federal budget would be somewhat smaller if everything the president proposes is enacted.
House Speaker John Boehner did criticize the budget. He called it the most irresponsible budget that Obama has put out. He says it calls for too much government, too much spending, too much borrowing, and too much taxing. Mm-hmm. How does this compare with any past proposals from the president?
Well, the fiscal house of the federal government has been just tightly constrained over the last few years. We spent a lot in the immediate years of the recession. We had a fairly large stimulus package, and we did a few other things, including cutting taxes. And we're now trying to get kind of past that level. It's proving difficult because economic growth has been sluggish. That means that tax revenues aren't increasing quite as fast as many economists would hope as we're coming out of a recession. And that's placed a pretty serious constraint on the federal government. The truth is we're under now a two-year budget deal that was enacted earlier this year. Both parties agreed to it, passed the House, passed the Senate. And what the Senate Democrats have suggested is that we just live by it. The president has proposed that we go beyond it and start investing in some of these education, job training, and anti-poverty programs like EITC, and raise some revenues to cover those costs. And in fact, he proposes mainly by changing this the way that the retirement savings of the wealthy are taxed. He proposes to raise revenues by about $1 trillion over a 10-year period. That's not all next year, but so it's over a 10-year period. The Republicans, on their part, are likely to propose that we break the 2-year deal in other ways. And we haven't yet seen exactly what the House Republicans might do, but they're talking about passing a budget that's really not required because there is a 2-year plan in place. But they would go beyond that plan in some ways of their own choosing. And presumably it would be to reduce spending in the domestic area, maybe provide more spending than the budget deal in the defense area, and maybe do something in the area of tax cuts. We've got kind of the Senate Democrats in the middle saying, let's hold firm. We've got the House Republicans saying, let's break it maybe in a conservative direction, and the White House saying, let's fudge on that deal in a liberal direction.
So can you tell us in a minute before our news break what's going to happen?
Probably nothing, because there's such deep differences of opinion here, and they'd all have to agree on any basic change. We're likely to live under the terms of the agreement that was set up 2 months ago.
All right. Well, we'll continue talking about what's in this budget that President Obama unveiled yesterday and what message he's sending. We'll talk more about the economics and the politics of it. And welcome more of your questions and more of your reactions. This is our Big Question segment, and today we are asking you, do you generally support or oppose President Obama's proposed budget for 2015? And why? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will check news, and then we will be back. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. President Obama's proposed budget that he unveiled yesterday would raise taxes on the rich and cut them for the poor. It would reduce the size and pay of the military. It would establish more funding for early childhood education and much more. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Wednesday, March 5th. We are talking with a guest who specializes in the economy and government and public policy about the president's plan. And we are asking you in today's big question, do you generally support or oppose President Obama's proposed budget for 2015 and why? And what questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Stephen Smith. He is a distinguished professor of political science and social sciences at the Washington University in St. Louis. His newest book is The Senate Syndrome, The Evolution of Procedural Warfare in the Modern U.S. Senate. It's scheduled to be released next month. Let's take another call. We have Brian in Viroqua with us. Hello, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Joy. One quick, I just wanted to comment regarding the foreign aid. Thank you for mentioning. Not a lot of people realize that less than 1% of our federal budget is dedicated to some of those life-saving programs. And that kind of leads to my discussion is the concept of bipartisanship. So in this, we all know there's talking points on both sides of the aisle, and you know all the different media outlets will already have their points to be for or against the budget, but that brings to the question is has there been Republicans, has been there Democrats that have looked at this budget and said, oh, that's a good idea, or be critical if you're a Democrat saying, yeah, that's something that we shouldn't do. So has any of the both sides now gotten past those talking points and really focusing, you know, on the issues? You know, in my experience with Bono's One campaign, the foreign aid, less than 1% of the budget, is a huge thing that I've found meeting with my senators and the House reps in Washington, D.C., that's something that people don't want to play with when you're focusing on, you know, potentially saving someone's life, you know, domestically or internationally. I can take my
All right. You're kind of breaking up a little, Brian, but I think I got that. Is there any, let me specify, are Republicans attacking foreign aid in President Obama's budget, or are Republicans finding anything that they like about the president's budget?
Well, if there's something they like, they haven't told us yet. Mm-hmm. you know, this budget is fresh. It just came out yesterday. The Republicans, about a week ago, started holding press conferences and issuing press releases criticizing it. It hadn't arrived yet, but there were parts of it that they had heard about, and they were not happy. You know, the fact is, the two parties came to terms with each other over a spending deal and a debt limit, about 2 months ago. And the spending deal was kind of a 2-year commitment. Remember, we had the sequestration spending limits in place at the time, and they were considered by both parties to be too onerous. And so they negotiated a way around them, and that negotiated arrangement lasts for 2 years. Then we're back to the sequestration, and both parties sort of agree that after that, we really need some new negotiations. But for the time being, for the rest of this fiscal year and for next fiscal year, fiscal years 2014 and 15, they have a spending and revenue plan in place. So the president is proposing things that would modify that, but he realizes perfectly well that the differences between the Republicans and the Democrats are too deep for them to for any of his proposals to have much of a chance. We already have heard from the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Barbara Mikulski, a Democrat, that she's going to stick to this year's numbers, to the budget agreement for the appropriations bills that they're taking up this year. And that's a pretty clear signal that the president's proposals won't even move Democrats on Capitol Hill. The president's required to send a budget to Capitol Hill, and so hardly anyone can blame him for sending up a bit of a wish list. But the fact is, they have an agreement in place. The president signed on to that agreement. I think the Senate Democrats, anyway, just don't want to rejigger it. I think there's a somewhat different sentiment among House Republicans. They don't want to give up on making additional changes, spending more on defense and less on domestic programs. But I think they're going to find that the Senate Democrats will not go along with them. So that's where we're mm-hmm. at. This is a plan. Some people would say it's a wish list, pie in the sky kind of thinking. I think most Democrats would say it's a modest list of new policy initiatives. And as modest as they are, they really don't stand much of a chance.
Yeah. Well, the president said, our budget is about choices. It's about our values. We've got to decide if we're going to keep squeezing the middle class or reduce our deficits responsibly. Mm-hmm. What does he mean by that?
He means investing some more in job training and education that benefits the working class. Big parts of his proposal have to do with improving technology in the area of manufacturing so that we can keep more manufacturing jobs in the U.S. Much of it has to do with preschool training, for example, and other education programs in order that new workers have the appropriate background. He has a lot on retraining for new jobs that doesn't cost a lot of money, but it's a big part of the proposal. And so he's focusing on that side of the equation, less on deficit reduction and more on education, training, and manufacturing and jobs.
And is that going to reduce our deficits responsibly?
It actually increases spending, but he proposes, of course, some tax increases on the well-to-do to cover those costs. The net increase in spending that he's proposing for fiscal 2015, which starts on October 1, about $56 billion. That's out of a total budget of $3.9 trillion. So you can figure the percentage. It's about a 1%, something in the neighborhood of a 1% increase in spending that he's proposing.
Todd in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Joey. Good morning to your guests. Mm-hmm. In 2009, when the stimulus was passed, that then became the new baseline for future budgets. We've been operating on nothing but concurrent resolutions ever since then, and Obama has submitted some budgets, but he can't even garner a single vote from his own party on them. They've been so out of line. I think that the thing that we need to start looking at is the actual size of the federal government, and all you have to do in order to accomplish that is next time you have a free month on your hands, go to USA.gov. I'm not talking about the health care website. This is just USA.gov. And scroll through all the various federal agencies and just see how many layers of government that we have on top of each other, and consider that every one of those agencies, sub-agencies, and other bureaucracies has an executive board, executive committee, and all kinds of employees who are all paid well and living on public pensions without, you know, standing health care plans. And you think about the amount of money that we're spending on that, and you start to realize, you know, the government is already just ridiculously out of control. And that's one step that I would recommend for people to get a handle on what this is actually costing us and what we're getting for the money that we're spending.
Well, Professor Smith, does this or have there been attempts to reduce the size of the federal government?
Well, sure. The truth is that over the last quarter century or so, we've actually reduced the number of federal employees. The total number of units of government, the number of organizational units, offices, and so on, is down, not up. The total size of the federal government, judged by some standards, is actually smaller. Spending is up, and the main reason spending is up is due to the entitlement programs. That doesn't create necessarily a lot of new federal employees or government offices. Things like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that are the main drivers of increased spending. We still have a lot of work to do in the way of Social Security reform. That's a relatively modest problem relative to increases in healthcare spending in larger society and in the federal government. Now, we do have the healthcare reform plan in place, and that has perhaps checked the increases in spending on healthcare a bit. But the long-term drivers of increased size of the federal government, judged by its budget, are in these entitlement programs. It's not in the number of employees or in the number of offices that you're going to find on anybody's website. It's these real large programs where dollars are spent on doctors, hospitals, and people.
Yeah. Well, House Speaker Boehner also ripped President Obama's budget for not addressing entitlement reform,
right,
and saying that he's just pushing this problem off to the next president. Why, again, didn't President Obama address entitlement reform in the budget?
Because he would argue, and this is certainly a debatable point, he would argue that he's tried to do that with the Republicans now for several years, he just doesn't want to keep beating his head against the wall. So this time, as I mentioned earlier, for the first time, he's not offered kind of an opening bid to the Republicans on a grand deal on entitlement reform, and instead said, well, okay, you haven't conducted serious discussions with me in the past, so I'm just not going to offer an opening bid this time, and I'm going to lay out my own vision for the role of the government that I see as appropriate. If you want to offer an opening bid, be my guest. But I think what you'll find is that Speaker Boehner doesn't want to stick his neck out much on entitlement reform either, especially in an election year.
Yeah, well, Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin released a report this week that suggested federal welfare programs are promoting poverty. And the Republicans will release their budget proposals in the coming weeks. What do you think? We'll see some sort of proposals for entitlement reform from the GOP?
Well, some, they've already endorsed a variety of programs and pulled back from them. Three Senate Republicans proposed something of an alternative to Obamacare, and then immediately pulled back from it. They're no longer really pushing it. Congressman Ryan advocated, what was quickly labeled a voucher system for health care, and he really stopped campaigning actively on it. So they may propose some numbers without giving us a lot of detail about how they would change these programs. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the budget makers and even among House Republicans not to get their Republican colleagues into too much hot water in an election year. You know, the big issue here is whether the Senate Republicans can regain a majority in that chamber. They need six seats. They're probably within one or two seats of getting that. This is going to be a very, very close contest for control of the Senate. And there's a great deal of pressure on leading Republicans not to do anything that would limit, constrain how those Republican candidates for the Senate conduct their campaigns. They don't want to be in a position where they're arguing about Speaker Boehner's plan or Paul Ryan's plan for that matter. They want to be able to fashion their policy positions to suit their own local circumstances. So this is a very difficult year, I think, really, for both parties. Both of them are more concerned about the elections, really, than they are about this budget.
Yeah, well, that is a good concluding remark on where this budget is going. But since it's not in the budget, but President Obama is going to lead a fresh charge at raising the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour today, is going to be in Connecticut making the case. Do you think he'll eventually get his way on this or not?
You know, I have a hard time betting on that. I think what he does is going to affect minimum wage battles in states. In many states, state legislatures are already battles to increase the state-level minimum wage. And so whatever he does nationally is going to aid those efforts. So Democrats are urging him on, but it doesn't look like the House Republicans are too eager to take up the minimum wage this year.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Stephen Smith, a distinguished professor of social sciences, a professor of political science, and the director of the Weidenbaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. Well, you heard him tell us some of the key elements of President Obama's proposed 2015 budget. Talked about what's in it, what's not. Now, what do you think about this? Do you generally support or oppose President Obama's proposed budget for 2015, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Your opportunity to sound off coming up on the Ideas Network. Time now for the sound-off segment of today's big question. Do you generally support or oppose President Obama's proposed budget for 2015? What do you like or dislike about what he's put in that spending plan? Do you think he's on the right track or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll give you 30 seconds to state your case. And Chris in Milwaukee starts us off. Hello, Chris.
Hi, I just want people to know that we're spending like $3 billion with a B dollars on this F-35 fighter. It's already $160 billion with a B dollars over budget, and it's 7 years late. You want soldiers, pull out a couple of billions for that from the F-15. They say we should do this so we have a better military. Imagine if we put a couple of those billions into education, and our kids would be twice as smart as the rest of the world. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chris. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You, by the way, can always vote in our online poll at wpr.org/joy. Charlie in Milwaukee is with us next. Hello, Charlie.
Well, thanks, Joy. I feel that Barack Obama's budget is, again, naive in that he wishes to conduct a foreign policy that emphasizes diplomacy, yet doesn't want to invest in the military to support that type of policy that he wants to use. And we're seeing that with the Ukraine right now. Talk is cheap if you don't have the military to back it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie. We have on Facebook, Matthew on Facebook, who says, liberals are still living in the 1940s, where public works projects employed thousands to build roads, etc. The multiplier effect is not the same today, since less people are needed to do the work. Reducing taxes to all has a bigger effect on this economy than making a few road builders rich. What do you think about President Obama's proposed budget that would raise taxes on the rich, it would cut them for the poor, it would reduce the size and pay of the military, it would establish more funding for early childhood education, it would provide more infrastructure repair. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Bill in Baraboo is with us. Hello, Bill.
Hi, and thanks for having me. Say, I think the budget plan for 2015 from Obama is grossly irresponsible. It's not rocket science. I am not an economist. I don't have a degree in economy. I'm a small business owner. You cannot spend more than you take in. And the only way to truly beat that is to cut your spending. That it's the only way to do it. And until they do that, you'll see inflation increase, and you won't gain anywhere on reducing our debt, which is what will save our country. We need to get back to the core philosophies of our forefathers and be responsible. And until we do that, things won't change.
Thank you very much, Bill. So do you agree with Bill? Do you agree with House Speaker John Boehner, who says that this budget from President Obama is the most irresponsible budget yet? Do you think entitlement reform should have been a part of this budget or not? Do you think it spends too much? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Jan in Appleton emails, Republicans have also proposed many budgets, far more than our Democrat, her word, controlled Senate has. What in Republican budgets do Democrats embrace and support? Why is it that the media always wants to talk about Republicans and how they feel about Democrat budgets, but we rarely hear any talk in the other direction, what Democrats say about Republican budgets? And do Democrats embrace Republican budgets? Thank you very much, Jan. Let's go to Julie in Big Bend. Hello, Julie.
Hello. I just think that the money that we're people, Ali called me before and said if we took the money away from the military and put it into education, we had all these smart children. And we have put so much money in education, and we are constantly falling more behind and more behind and more behind. Education is not reliant on more money. It's reliant on better working conditions, better teaching, better relationships or something. I don't know. The unions have been a problem.
I got to jump in because, Julie, we give 30 seconds for your sound-off comment. Thank you very much. Larry in Middleton. Hi, Larry.
Thank you. I support the proposed budget, especially including reducing the headcount of the Army. We will still have a large enough army for national defense. We should not have an army that dominates our foreign policies and gets us into extended wars abroad that are not defensive in nature.
Thank you very much, Larry. Thanks to all of you for your votes, your sound-off comments. You can continue voting online at WPR.org/joy. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air direction and to Robin Cherry for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We will be talking with the author of The Sugar Season about maple syrup coming up. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network.